right. Well, I thought tonight we'd start in the book of Ruth and go for a few of these chapters. We've been looking in Joshua and come through the book of Judges. Now, remember in Judges, the Bible says that one of the key verses, every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And the problem with that, of course, is that we have a sinful nature and we don't need to do what we want to do. We need to do what the Lord wants us to do. And when you come to the book of Ruth, it takes up in the same time period when the judges ruled. And so you'll see that the Lord had been judging Israel for the sin that they had been involved with, the idol worship and turning away from the one true God. But when you come to the book of Ruth, you find that there are still some people who love the Lord who's trying to stay with the true God that's been revealed unto them. And how that they just love the Lord and they don't want to back up and sit down and start worshiping these idol gods. And I'm glad today that there's still people who love the Lord who have not decided that just anything goes and that this modern world will be just fine. There's still some people who will not turn away from that truth that we have that's been once delivered unto the saints. And whether people realize it or not, you know, you try to watch TV and these little bleeping noises that come on, and you know what they're saying most of the time if you watch some of this stuff. There's still people that don't use those kind of words. And God still has a bunch of people that will not go along with the fads and all this stuff that we see today. I know when I was growing up, it's been several years ago, but if you had a hole in your clothes, especially your pant leg, you wanted that fixed, you know. And it was kind of a shame to walk around with your knees hanging out and holes all over your clothes. But today I reckon it's some kind of a badge of honor or a trend or something. And you look and people just buy clothes that's cut all to pieces and stuff. Well, I'm glad that there's people who still love the Lord and still don't want to go along with some of these fads and fashions of the day. And there's still those of us who won't touch a drop of alcohol. We don't believe you ought to get drunk and disgrace yourselves and all that. But to hear the world today, you'd think that everybody's just going crazy after all this stuff. Well, when you come to the book of Ruth, you find that there's some good people who still love the Lord and they didn't want to go into this old idol worship and all this. And you know, Ruth is given the title of this book, and the other book in the Old Testament that has a woman's name is Esther. And you find that these two people are a great demonstration of what God can do in the heart of a person who loves the Lord, simply trusting in Him. And I think sometimes we don't give godly women the credit they deserve in our churches. And, you know, a lot of men study the book of Ephesians, and they talk about husbands and being head of the house and all that. And we know what the Bible teaches in that regard. But they're not to be some kind of a dictator, not to look down upon the godly women. And every church that I've ever been associated with that was getting anywhere and had the Spirit of God and were really working for the Lord had some godly praying women involved in that work. And I'm glad that God has some women out there that love Him. And when you come to the New Testament, of course, there's women like Mary and Martha and all of these that sat at the feet of Jesus, and they loved the Lord. And some of these women were the first ones to arrive at the tomb and to think about what was taking place. So they honored the Lord. And it's just refreshing to me to know that God not only has servants of the Lord, that's men, and all these books of the Bible, the 66 books you find, were named after some of these men that did great things, but two of them, Ruth and Esther, are here for us to think about. Now, I think there's a lesson just in that itself. But you look at Ruth in chapter 1, the Bible says in verse 1, "Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of the wife, Naomi, and the name of the two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Epaphrodites of Bethlehem, Judah, and they came into the country of Moab and continued there. Well, as I mentioned, the book of Ruth is similar in some ways to the Song of Solomon. You see a lot of grace and truth and how God was there. And Ruth, of course, is this pilgrim that we can see that journeys out of Moab and becomes identified with the one true God. Now, as I mentioned, this belongs to the time of the Judges when these Midianites prevailed in the land, and they, of course, destroyed the increase on the earth, and it caused some famine in the land. You remember when we come through Judges, look back just as a reference, into Judges chapter 6 and verses 1 through 6 there, you can see the children of Israel, of course, did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. Well, I tell you, these verses like this, what frightens me to death for the future of this country that's turning away from God. You think God's not watching what we're doing in this country tonight? God will judge us, and He allows enemies to come in when His people turn to all of the other things and brings problems. The Midianites prevailed. And because the Midianites, the children made them dens, which are in the mountains and caves and strongholds. And so when the land of Israel was sown, they put out their crops and all this. They came up against them and destroyed, verse 4, the increase of the earth, till it come unto Gezer, says, and left no substance for the people. Their oxen and all of these animals that they had, their cattle and their tents. These things, God allowed the enemy to come in and absolutely wipe off the crops that they had to live on. Wouldn't it be a hard time if you couldn't find anything to eat? You had nothing to enjoy the blessings that you were used to. And so God judged them because they turned away from Him. This is the time when famine was in the land, and this was the exact reason for the famine, and because God was bringing the chastisement He has upon the land for their sin. Well, you see how God constrained this certain man in verse number 1, a certain man there in Bethlehem left this place of blessing. It should have been blessing, except they were, anyhow, failing to do what God said. And they went into this land called Moab. There in verse 2, you see that they came into the country of Moab and continued there. They lived there. Now, the famine drove them to this Moabites connection, and it kept them there because they were there trying to live and have something to eat. But you know, the truth is that adversity will either drive a Christian nearer to his God or nearer to the world. And so you think about, in this time, we realize that their faith should have sustained them, but the flesh overpowered them instead of trusting in God. I think they'd been much better off instead of taking off into some heathen land to try to find something to eat, to just stay and trust God and weathered out the storm. Because you see, later, God gave them land and gave them food to eat. But anyhow, every believer makes up his decision about his faith. And we're studying about our faith, how important it is today in our Sunday school, the preaching hour. And thinking about how, you know, going away from God, it's like these men that left the land of promise and went down into Egypt. Lot, of course, was a good example of that. He saw the prosperity and all of that down towards Sodom and pitched his tents down there. And we see that he came out a great loser because of that. Think of the prodigal son. He left the father's house and decided, well, I want what's, you know, mine lawfully, and I'm going to go. And there he wasted his substance with riotous living. And that's always the result when you go away from God. And so I'm going to have a big time. And you know, we've studied in the book of Timothy there on Sunday morning, thinking about, the Bible said there's pleasure in sin for a season, and And when I looked at and studied that verse the other day, it really meant something to me. You know, the question is not between, will you serve God or will you go out here and have pleasure in your life and all of this? There's a lot more pleasure in the things of God than there ever could be in the things of this world.
Amen.
I mean, when you look at it in the depth of what's really there, I was just thinking about these young people, and I've watched some of these singing groups and what have you, and they'll bring up these little grandchildren along beside them, and they look down there, and these little old kids, some of them can really sing, and they're there, and they're just looking and smile. You know, nothing any greater to the heart of the child of God to look at his descendants, his children, and his children's children, and see them following in the footsteps of those people who love God. What a blessing it is to see those little kids pick up a microphone and try to sing and praise God or do anything to glorify God. I'll tell you, the world has nothing to match the blessings that God can give his people that are following him. And nothing any greater than these little kids come along and begin to serve the Lord. Well, anyhow, it's maybe in a sense a different subject. But Elimelech here lost a lot of things by going down into Egypt. Naomi lost her husband and lost her sons in Moab. And today, as you think about, you know, when Joseph was there and they went down there to find corn, that was a whole different situation. God led them down there in that situation. But those that go to the world to try to find some help always come back like Naomi, weeping and regretting the shameful disgrace like the prodigal son did when he came back. Well, let's just read a few of these verses. Look in verse number 3. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died. And she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other was Ruth. And they dwelt there about 10 years. What happened? Mahlon and Chilion died, both of them, the Bible says, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. And so you see that Elimelech, her husband died, her two sons went down and married these women, and her sons died. And now she's sitting. Now, don't you think that would have been a very depressing situation for her to think? I'm a widow now. I don't have no son-in-law. My sons are dead. All I have is the daughter-in-laws that they married. They had wives, but now my sons. Don't you know she must have felt so empty inside? And I've had to help in some funerals where people buried their husband or wife or their children and all that. There's nothing any more sad to think about losing somebody you really love. Well, you say, well, if they had stayed up there in Bethlehem, would things have been better? I think it would have, don't you? I'd have had a little bit less to eat. But anyhow, look what's taking place as this happens. And verse number 6, it's like the prodigal son. I think she came to herself. She arose with her daughters-in-law that they might return from the country of Moab. For she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people and given them bread. There were still some people up there waiting on God. And now he's given them something to eat. And so she arose as the prodigal son got up and said, I'll go back to my father. Naomi had heard how the Lord visited his people there and blessing them. And so she heard, she believed, and now she's acting upon this. And the good news is that God's visited this world, you know, with the bread of life for those people that will receive him. And the majority seem content sometimes to dwell in Moab and eat the husk that the swines do eat. But I'm glad, you know, not everybody decided to go to hell. If you'll just be a witness, you'll find somebody that's hungry for the right thing. And I really believe this. We see these last days approaching. We're going to see more and more people that are looking for something that's real, something that's right, something that's solid. And we need to be ready to give an answer to every man that asks us that hope that lies within us. Isn't that right? And so you see, she arose in verse number 7, I mean 6, and there in verse number 7, look what happens. Where Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on the same, on the way to return unto the land of Judah. And so she went forth out of that place. Good decision, wasn't it? You think of this verse in 2 Corinthians 6:17, where the Bible says, come out from among them and be ye separate, and I'll receive you. She didn't have a bit more use for those idol gods down there than any other person that loved the Lord would have. Like Lot, he vexed his righteous soul. He didn't have any business being down there with that bunch of perverts, did he? He needed to be with God's people instead of believing all that stuff. Whether the world realizes it or not, there's still a whole lot of God's children that know what this book says, that still believe that marriage is between a man and a woman.
Amen.
Not some other mixed up mess of junk. I mean, the Bible is right, and we believe God, and He'll bless you when you stay with what's right. And so, come out from among them doesn't mean we don't care to try to help, and we don't love everybody. It just means we know what's right and what's not right. So, you know, if we're going to be those that's pleasing God, headed towards heaven, the Bible teaches us that the world that's evil should be shunned and not be a partaker of that. Luke 16:13, the Bible said you cannot love God and mammon both. So she came out, left that place. Then verse number 10, look what happens. And they said unto her, surely, these daughters-in-law of her, we will return with thee unto thy people. So those, a lot of times, that would follow the Lord, you know, endure trials, but a lot of times we just run back towards the Lord, forsake all of that stuff. And you see what's happening in verse 11. She says, and Naomi said, return again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? And so she's testing their motive. She's saying, why do you want to go back with me? You came from Moab here. But just like sometimes we are tested by the things that's going on, she's trying to find out what they're thinking. And there's no earthly or no worldly glory worthwhile staying in a place where God's not in it. But she said, I'm just too old to have any more sons for to be your husbands. In a sense, she said, you married the two sons that I had, but that's it. There's no more. And why are you following me? Well, look at this in verse number 15. This really gets good to you as you think about what's happening. And she said, behold, my sisters-in-law, they're gone back unto their people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. We see as it's going back to this old situation that they were once in, there's some trials here. Ruth overcomes the things that of the world. And Oprah decided, well, I'll go back where I came from. But you think about what's happening here in verse number 15. Ruth overcomes this temptation to stay back there. She said, entreat me not to leave thee. She lifted up her voice. In verse 14, they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Oprah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, behold, thy sister is gone back. Look in verse 16. This is so good. Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whether thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. And thy people shall be my people, and thy God. Look at this capital G here. He's not talking about these idol gods and this foolishness that was going on around them. She said, thy God shall be my God. And so Ruth decided, I'm just going to do what you're doing. I know what you're doing is right. Verse 17 says, where thou diest, I will die. Where thou buried, he says, the Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death depart between them. And so when she saw in verse 18 that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, that she left speaking. In other words, she realized, one daughter-in-law decided, well, I'll go back. But Ruth said, don't say anything else to me. Don't try to get me to leave you. I want to go with you. I won't even be buried where you're buried. Your God's the God that I want to serve. Boy, I'd love to have some people in our country tonight that just get their heart fixed and say, I know what you're doing is right. I know this Bible is true, and I want to stay with that. I'm so glad to know there's people who will stick with you that know what's right and what's wrong. I've saw them down through the years. They'll do anything to help you, and they know what's really right. Ruth had a head on her shoulders, didn't she? Look in verse 19. And so the Bible says, they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass when they were come to Bethlehem that all the city moved about them. And they said, is this Naomi? And she said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara. You see, the names used to mean something. She says, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Why then called you me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? And so Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem, and beginning the month of the harvest. So you can see, they went together until they came unto Bethlehem. Of course, the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? And you know, you just don't want to rub shoulders with somebody that don't use the kind of language that God's pleased with and all of this stuff that's happening. But people begin to brag on the Lord, and they start talking about how good God is. Isn't it good you can have fellowship with your brothers and sisters in the Lord? It don't matter whether it's some kind of a church service or it's some kind of a, just a cookout or a place or you're driving to visit somebody. There's some good fellowship between God's people. And this is what they were expecting or experiencing as they went down back to Jerusalem. And so they that saw her come in, look what happened. They said, is this Naomi? They saw the sadness and the bitter experiences that she'd been through. They saw that her fullness had turned to emptiness. It was upon her face. I've saw people that are young and strong, full of energy, and they just have a bright smile and get mixed up with some of this drug trafficking or alcohol, or you name it, they get mixed up and become addicted with all of these things that destroy their health and destroy their life and destroy their joy. And just in a few years' time, it looks like instead of 2 or 3 years later, they've aged 10 or 15 years. Boy, it's so sad to think about how the devil wants to take that which is good that God gives you, your health and your you know, just that desire to live and that drive and that energy that you have. The devil, you know, he's a murderer from the beginning. The devil is nothing more than one that kills and destroys and all this stuff. What a contrast it is to see God's blessings and the light in your eyes when you know God's walking with you and he's pleased with you. They looked at her when she came back and they saw how she had went out in such a good state, but now she's coming back. And the effects of being down there in Moab and the bitterness and the loss that she had. You know, a lot of people, they get mixed up with this word backslider and they don't want to talk about it and all that. Well, the Bible teaches that people do go away from the place of blessings. I don't want you to care. It doesn't matter to me what you call them, a backslider or a cold-hearted Christian or whatever it might be. There's people who start out right with God. And I'll tell you the truth tonight, you can fail God in your Christian experience and in your life. You can walk away and turn away from the blessings in the house of God and go out. And people, you know, the devil tricks us. And sometimes if you want to live a good life, the devil will say, well, you need to be over here making all this money, or you need to be doing this, or you need to have this activity. And all. I was listening to some singers there on this Down Home Gospel program there the other night. And they said, We love to sing, and we're just visiting churches, and we've got all of these engagements booked up. And the man said, I don't fish, and I don't hunt, I don't play golf, and I don't go to these events. And he said, I'm just to get my enjoyment out of being out here serving God. Hey, there's nothing wrong with doing some recreational activities once in a while. But I believe that's what we ought to live for. Do you? I believe we ought to be living for the joy of the Lord. And that's really where it's all about. If you have time, nothing any better, I don't think, to get a little old tow-headed kid and let him dig some worms and take him somewhere and catch a few fish with him or something. Nothing any better, I don't think. People that love their children and all this, to get out and do something just to enjoy a little bit of life with. But I'll tell you right now, there's a whole lot more to live for than all of these things that people walk away from the house of God and think, now I can, boy, I can have a good time. Right here's where it's at. Serving the Lord. This is what it's all about. If you want to enjoy life, just stay with God and He'll bless you. People act like, well, if I were to just pray, Lord, whatever you want me to do, they think the Lord might make me be a missionary. He might call me to do this or that. No, I'd be so miserable. And the opposite is actually true. When you say, Lord, here I am, use me. You know, the Bible says if you are honoring the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. And I'm glad that what we can do is honor Him. The backslider in heart's always the loser, and he's robbed of his peace and his joy and his testimony. But when the Lord brings him back, and He will, the Lord will not, you know, the only way you sin after you're saved is with chastisement. And I've said so many times, you won't just let a little child decide to play in the road and all that. You'll say, no, you have to stay in the yard if you're going to play ball and all. And God loves us too much to just let us be destroyed by the things of this world. If you're His, He'll show you when you do wrong. Do you believe that? God sure has a way of getting our attention, and it's just because He loves us. But she had this shame and bitterness of her soul. They saw it on her face when she walked back in. And verse number 21, you see the truth of it. I'm not making this up. That's right here in the Bible. She said, I went out full. The Lord brought me back home again, empty. She said, don't even call me Naomi, but just call me Mara. The Lord has afflicted me. Well, the psalmist says, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But then he said, now have I kept thy word. And so she sees, and Ruth especially is about to be one that's blessed abundantly. She sees what's really taking place. And so, you know, as you think of the conclusion of this chapter, you have to ask yourself, I guess, are we as near, or am I as near to the Lord as I used to be? If the Lord were to talk about me, would He testify against me as He did here to Naomi? Well, if the answer, of course, is I've left the Lord, and while you may be trying to live as close to the Lord as you ever have, there's probably a lot of people that you know in your life and your family that are walking away from the Lord, and you can help them. And the way is to return back to the Lord. I'm glad the Bible says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. Amen. Naomi said, I'm going to rise and go back. And she went back to the place where God could bless her. We just tonight need to stay in that place where God is. Like somebody said, I want to just stay right under the spout where the glory comes out. I just want to stay where God can use me in my life. Well, God never will leave us and never desire that we go away. It's our problem. A lot of these people you read in the Bible say, well, why would a loving God allow this and allow that? It wasn't God's will that some of these men sinned and messed up their life. They chose to go away from God and they suffered the consequences. I'd rather just serve the Lord, wouldn't you? Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we do thank You tonight for this book of Ruth that shows us how that when Your people do fail You and they go in the wrong direction, that, Lord, they always lose. But I'm glad there's hope. for those that will return, for those that want to come to you, and those that will serve you. Be faithful. Blessings that will follow. Lord, we realize even those that are faithful, we realize that even those that are doing the best they can sometimes suffer afflictions and suffer persecution. Lord, we're thankful that you can use us for your glory and your honor. We thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.